The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 2 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Anthony Issa. Here are today's headlines. Healthcare workers tell Quebec, stop micromanaging us. Live venues hoping to get off life support. And doubts that governments will take action on climate change. Healthcare unions announced that they're filing a complaint to the administrative labor courts. They're frustrated that the government is making decisions without consulting them. Talia Cliott has the story.
Sébastien Goulet from the Canadian Union of Public Employees explained that the pandemic caused the government to take emergency control over healthcare decisions.
The labor relations regime revolved around ministerial orders and governmental decrees.
Now, it's been almost 2 years, and the unions are frustrated that this is still in place. Goulet said that they should be the ones making the decisions.
We are the ones best placed to represent them and tell what the actual needs are.
José Marcotte of the Federation of Health and Social Services explained that this complaint is not meant to alienate the government. We're still ready to collaborate and find solutions. However, Marcotte said that the situation is too urgent not to go forward with the complaint. Talia Cliott, Concordia News, NDG.
Live venues took a hit in 2020, with an 84% decrease in attendance from the previous year. Hard hit by the pandemic, will these places be able to reopen and thrive as the restrictions ease? Peter Vrianis is here with us to talk about the state of live venues. Peter, how did venues withstand getting shut down?
Well, I mean, obviously 2020 was a rough year for everybody, and these live venues were no exception. They had to cancel shows, they had to move to remote performances, they had to be more present on online platforms such as YouTube and others, and they also had to adapt and find ways to keep more people engaged up until the eventual reopening, which is happening right now as we speak.
And what is the outlook for them as they begin to reopen?
Well, I think the outlook is positive. You know, venues have garnered a lot of attention ever since they reopened, and maybe even more attention than they might have had before the shutdown. And I spoke to Lisa Rubin, the artistic director at the Siegel Center, and she had this to say about how she views the outlook of her center.
As more people feel confident in kind of getting back, they're going to start coming back more and more, and they're going to start realizing how important theater and just live arts is to their lives.
And what kind of support are they getting from the government?
Well, the government has been offering a ton of financial support, whether it be the provincial government or the federal government. They've allowed these theaters and live venues to basically stay afloat, and they've given them a chance to reopen and to run smoothly as a result. So they've been getting a lot more customers as a result of the reopenings. There's a lot more interest that is being sparked in that specific field. Everything is back up and running again, and Etiel Carosielli, a media director at the Rialto Theater in Montreal, had this to say about the government and how they've helped his theater over the course of the pandemic.
For business to stay on life support for 20 months until things are back to normal. And now, little by little, they're taking us off life support, as it were. And
yeah, so, you know, these theaters, these live venues, they're really hoping that people are fired up to get back in the building and looking ahead.
Thank you, Peter. Quebec's tourism industry calls for travel restrictions to be alleviated. After months of struggle, Quebec restaurants and attractions are eager to see their visitors again. Mackenzie Sosh is live with us. Mackenzie, what exactly is the tourism industry requesting to simplify travel restrictions?
The Canadian Travel and Tourism Roundtable actually wants Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to remove mandatory PCR tests to be able to enter the country. Since the three countries are meeting up soon, they really want this to be discussed. This would apply to people who are fully vaccinated only, obviously, and removing this travel restriction would help tourism across the country, according to them, and it would lighten up the industry after a lot of time of struggle.
And how is the tourism industry affected by this complicated process?
Well, what's complicated with this is that PCR tests are very expensive. They're actually around $200 per person in Canada. So imagine how much it would cost for big families to travel. This obviously reduces the number of people who are willing to travel, and it hurts our restaurants or hotels and other tourist attractions. I talked to Martin Vézina from the Quebec Restaurant Association, and he was telling me that when they opened the borders, it was obviously very helpful right there. The fact that people were working from home didn't help, but when Concordia and McGill students came back to campus, it really brought a lot of people into their businesses, which was very, very helpful.
And how do they expect these alleviations to help tourism industry?
Some are very hopeful, but others are still a little worried. Actually, Derek Lee is the manager at the hotel Le Méridien and Chateau Versailles, and he's still on the fence about alleviating travel restrictions. He says that the government has been doing a good job at going progressively, and he thinks that it's not a risk we should take to try to open everything up right away.
So I think taking the turtle, you know, versus the hare, I think has really, really done a fine job for this country right now and for our industry.
Thank you.
So he says he's very okay with how the two hotels he manages are currently doing, and he just prefers to play it safe by following what the government is working on slowly.
Thank you, Mackenzie. A teenager was arrested Tuesday afternoon after gunshots were fired. The incident occurred outside a Laval high school. The Laval police arrested the 17-year-old when a fight broke out between students and other young men driving by. One of the suspects fired a gun in the air, but nobody was hit. The suspects in the vehicle fled the scene, but the police managed to track down their car. One of the passengers was arrested and questioned overnight. A car chase happened this morning. The suspect is a 20-year-old man. He was arrested on Highway 40 by the SQ police. He had stolen an SUV in Montreal and drove the car until it crashed near Repentigny. He continued his escape by foot, but was stopped by the SQ. The man is possibly facing charges of reckless driving, running away from the law, and robbery, according to the police. Since COP26 ended, critiques from the international community are piling up. A study made by the Montreal Economic Institute shows that Canadians are doubting the efficiency of conferences like these. Cedric Gallant has the story for us.
The Montreal Economic Institute says that only 25% of Canadians feel that international conferences like COP26 are useful in finding solutions for climate change. This feeling is also shared by some Canadians' environmental groups. Nicolas Chevalier, representative at Climate Justice Montreal, says this.
These are false solutions, promises that kick the can a little bit too far down the line.
However, others think that this conference sets the stage for other global negotiations. Hugo Séguin, fellow at Université de Montréal's CIRIUM, an expert in climate change negotiations, says that COP26 has improved the financial plan for a global initiative on climate change, giving them a head start for other conferences.
So what happened in Glasgow was that the world gave itself one more year to continue on the momentum that was created because of COP26, and the world has to come back next year with more ambition, more objectives.
COP26's efficiency is a debated topic among environmental groups. Some argue that international conferences do not provide solutions. Others think that the meeting provides the ambition necessary to solve climate change. Nevertheless, the Canadians are underwhelmed by the international community, and the urgency of climate change is still a constant worry for many of them. For Concordia News, I'm Cédric Galland.
First Nation Inuits are on the verge of taking the Quebec government to court. They are considering legal action to help protect woodland caribou, which are facing extinction. This is after the government stopped a motion to slow down the decline of the species population. The lack of pressure has also worried the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society. If nothing is done by the province, they might force the federal government to take action instead. And now for sports. A huge new contract for the Blue Jays player. The Habs lost against the Rangers. Canada moves to first in the World Cup qualifications. Maggie McDonald is live with us to give us the sports news.
It's no longer a secret weapon, is it? Stacchio. Good ball, touchdown!
Canada moves to first place in the World Cup qualifying after winning 2-1 against Mexico. They played in Edmonton at minus 9 degrees in the snow. Kyle Larin scored both goals, tying him with Dwayne De Rosario for the top Canadian men's goal scorer in history with 22 goals. Canada hasn't been to a World Cup since 1986. Things are looking up.
Suzuki lost it.
The Montreal Canadiens lost 3-2 against the New York Rangers. It is the fourth time in five meetings that the Habs lose against them. Here's what Christian Dvorak had to say.
Yeah, I thought we did a solid job out there today, but we just kind of get that one more goal to tie the game up.
The Habs will be home tomorrow to play against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Curry for the answer. Okay.
And so is that. And so is that.
From Grant. 30 feet. From yes, 30 from feet, 30 coach. Feet.
In the NBA, the Golden State Warriors beat the Brooklyn Nets 117-99. Stephen Curry made 37 of those points. And the Utah Jazz beat the Philadelphia 76ers 120-85. Toronto Blue Jays star pitcher Jose Berrios signed a 7-year, $131 million contract extension and will stay with the team after being acquired in a trade from the Minnesota Twins last year. He was supposed to become an unrestricted free agent after the 2022 season. That's it for sports.
Do your kids want to become astronauts when they grow up? Well, think twice before you let them follow their dreams. Like in the plot of Gravity, astronauts on duty had to seek shelter in their shuttles as major space debris flew by. This halted their activities for the time being. This also happened because Russia carried out a missile test destroying their satellites. The floating junk from the satellite posed as a threat to the International Space Station and other spacecraft until further notice. And onto the weather. This morning will be cloudy with a chance of sun. The high will be around 2 degrees Celsius, but the temperatures will drop to zero with freezing rain. Thursday will also have rain with an average temperature of 9 degrees. Celsius. This weekend will also be cold with an average of 4 degrees Celsius. Montrealers should also expect rain and cloudy weather. However, the snow outlook is rather small with less than 1 centimeter overall, but do expect freezing weather to continue into next week. That's your news for 11:28. Thank you for listening and stay warm. For Concordia News, I'm Anthony Issa.